Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a gift online at loe.org or call 800-893-3377 right now. And thanks.
When Farmington, Connecticut's Barney Library undertook a major renovation last year, staff decided to get rid of some very fragile stuff. 8,000 bird eggs. The egg collection was donated in 1924 and has been stored in a closed cabinet on the library's second floor ever since. The library donated the egg collection to the University of Connecticut's Museum of Natural History. Producer Laurie Sanders was there on moving day and has our story.
Hey, Tanner, don't forget to dig out the batting from underneath the box, okay?
It's 9 in the morning, and a small group of grad students and faculty from UConn has just arrived at the Barney Library in Farmington, Connecticut. The crew uses a back staircase to reach a second-floor meeting room. It's here, inside a special wooden cabinet, that an enormous collection of wild bird eggs has sat for decades.
It's a beautiful piece of furniture, but it's really not secure storage from the point of view of modern specimen storage.
Margaret Rubega is Connecticut's state ornithologist and a biologist at UConn.
It's truly stunning the condition this collection is in. It really has survived through benign neglect and the protection of being in an institution like a library.
Egg collecting was a wildly popular hobby in the 19th century. But Rubega says this collection is extraordinary.
It's a big collection. It's fully documented. And especially what's important for us as an institution of the state is that the vast majority of eggs in this collection come from Connecticut. It's a physical library of the birds who were in Connecticut in the 19th century. The habitat has changed. The bird life has changed, the conditions under which the birds are trying to make a living and reproduce has changed. It's just an unbelievable record of what the bird life in this state used to be.
Rubega slides a drawer open. The eggs are beautiful, meticulously organized and labeled. Grackles, red-winged blackbirds. There's a whole drawer full of tiny hummingbird eggs. Several others contain just warbler eggs. In the deeper drawers are the bigger eggs, those of owls, gulls, hawks, falcons, herons. When 19th century collectors took eggs, they didn't take just one. They took whatever was in the nest. Then they drilled a tiny hole in each egg and removed the yolk and egg white. Rubega opens drawer after drawer. It's like a treasure chest filled with glossy white, blue, pale brown, buffy green. Harry Curtis Mills amassed this collection. He was an electrician, born in the 1860s, and like many people in the late 19th century, he was passionate about natural history. He and his wife had collections of rocks, butterflies, wildflowers, shells. But all of these were surpassed by his collection of bird eggs. Over the course of 50 years, Mills collected, traded, and bought thousands of eggs, representing 840 species.
If we use indelible marker.
Before removing the drawers of eggs from the cabinet, the team goes over how they'll record the information in a database and how they'll move, pack, and protect the eggs in their new museum containers.
So if you take a close look at this first clutch of eggs, penciled on it near the hole is the set mark that the field collector would have recorded on the data card, which, go ahead.
They take a couple photographs of the cabinet, and then they take the first real step. They take out the first drawer. And then they take off the glass sheet that's been covering the eggs for 85 years.
All right, there it is.
Let's take a picture.
The team begins to carefully duplicate the information Harry Curtis Mills penciled on each egg into a database.
Set mark is 2/4. There are 4 eggs. Species is 466A.
Egg collecting became illegal in America in 1918 with the passage of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. The practice had taken a toll on bird populations, especially some rare species. Rubega says a well-documented, extensive collection like this one now can play a valuable role. It shouldn't just remain a curiosity shown off in a parlor.
The scientific value of this collection is sort of easiest to understand if you think about the collection exactly the same way that you think about the collection of books in a library. In every single one of these eggs, there's information about what the world was like at the time the egg was collected.
Rubega says collections make it possible for scientists to answer questions they didn't even know they were going to have, like investigating the impact of acid rain or climate change or the presence of environmental contaminants. Years ago, old egg collections like this one proved crucial in linking the thinning of eggshells to DDT. Right now, a graduate student at UConn is studying the relationship between cadmium levels and declining populations of American woodcock. Rubega says he's chomping at the bit to analyze these eggs and compare cadmium levels from a century ago to those seen in woodcock eggs today.
Chestnut-sided warbler.
Yep, got it.
On every egg is written 659.
The eggs are now in the collection at UConn and available to anyone who wants to see them. For Living on Earth, I'm Laurie Sanders.
Coming up, novelist Ian McEwan finds the funny in climate change. That's just ahead on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.